Hey, hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Ask Conrad Anything here on adfreeshows.com. And I greatly appreciate you being here with us. Shut up, Akeem. Let's jump right into it. This is Ask Conrad number 22. Justin Davis wants to say, Conrad, what do you think of the current Fiend and Alexa Bliss storyline? I feel like Alexa has taken it to another level. She's always held that line where she could be goody good or the ultimate dark heel. Yeah, I agree. I thought when they first introduced Alexa Bliss, they were going to be headed in some sort of dark direction. I'm glad that it's finally happening now. It certainly feels like she's been inspired by that Suicide Squad movie. Uriel Cook says a big part of Roman Reigns' heel turn has been incorporating his culture into his character. Before, he was just a badass character that we chose to either love or hate. Now his heritage is on the forefront of everything. Do you feel Vince McMahon has an outdated view towards people of color? Boy, I didn't see that left turn coming there. I think, you know, them being the Samoan dynasty, listen to me, Roman Reigns and his family referring to themselves as the Samoan dynasty, and it being so prominent and something that you talk about that they are really all from the same family. I think I view it less as a person of color situation and more like a Bret Hart, Owen Hart, Hart family type thing. At least that's the way I viewed it. I can certainly appreciate the way you view it. But if I'm honest with you, I never really considered that. I just always thought of this as like, you know, I'm the king of hearts, sort of like Owen and Bret used to talk about. That's always been the way I viewed it. But again, I'm a hillbilly from Alabama, a white dude. So I can't really speak to that. So I'm sorry if you feel that way. And honestly, I it was a blind spot for me. So I'll look at it with a different lens next time. But so far, yeah, I just viewed it as like a family thing. And I kind of also thought the big payoff was going to be him and Rock, you know, either this WrestleMania or next WrestleMania. Sean Cusack says, we heard on the podcast, guys like Paul Bosch, Roy Shire, and Jim Barnett get brought up. You think in 20 to 30 years, these men will be lost to history when the ones who work for them are no longer here? I think they'll be like George Hackenschmidt these days. You know, there's so many, I mean, listen, nobody even really talks about Bruno the way they probably should. And they certainly don't talk about Danny Hodge the way they could or Jack Briscoe the way they should. So yes, unfortunately, I do think, you know, you become what you grew up on. So right now we're all having fun talking about Ric Flair and Terry Funk and Dusty Rhodes, but in 20, 30 years, will people still talk about them the same way or will it be all about John Cena? It's hard to imagine, but I mean, I do think that's just the evolution. The beat goes on. Chase Terry says, hey, Conrad, I've worked at the same place as a graphic designer for 13 years and have great job security, but I haven't been happy in a long time. When it comes to the two C's, the cash is okay, but the creative sucks, i.e. the quality of projects I get to work on. You seem to love what you do, both in the mortgage and the podcast world. Any tips on how to get out of this rut and find a job I look forward to each morning? Chase, I would say get you a side hustle, baby. Why don't you, I mean, listen, I don't know exactly what your work schedule is, but here's the thing, man, there's 24 hours in a day and you need about 6 or 7 of those for sleeping. And then you're probably working at your real job for 7 or 8 hours. What are you doing with those other 7, 8, 9 hours a day? That's a real question. I'm not saying that to be a dick. What are you doing with those hours? You know what I'm doing? This. My advice to you is find your this. I don't think you need to run out and quit your job necessarily. I think you do need to have some sort of great job security. There's been times in my life where doing mortgages was not fun. You know, doing mortgages is always fun. Let me be clear about that. Helping people, but running a business is not always fun. Sometimes you got to make tough decisions. There's ebbs and flows, there's ups and downs, and you got to sort of weather the storm. So my advice to you would be keep that job security, keep doing what you've been doing. I know it's challenging creatively, but let's try to pile on right behind it with some positivity, something that's fun, something that you know, you're pushing for. I would encourage you to do something with those other 7, 8, 9 hours, get you a side hustle, baby. And then you can get you some creativity going and eventually some cash. Dallas Lucas says, hey, hey, Conrad, I live in Texas. I am married. I live in a rural community. My wife and I have credit scores around 700 each. We don't have a lot of credit card debt. However, we do have We do pay two accounts each month that we have financed. I often hear on your ads that I should refinance to a 15 or even a 10 year loan. My wife and I are pretty responsible. We have roughly 10 to 12 months of monthly bill money set aside. I have roughly $45,000 remaining on a mortgage. Tell me, what is the downside of going through this process? What is the out of pocket costs and what are the benefits of doing it exactly? Well, number one, I don't know what you have financed right now, but you say you have a couple of accounts. My advice to you would be, let's take a look and see what your interest rates are on those and how many payments you have left. And then let's try to see if we can combine both of those debts with your current mortgage and then put it all into a 10 or 15 year loan. I bet, based on what I'm seeing right now, that we could take your $45,000 on your mortgage, stack it up with these other two items, put it into one monthly loan, and you're going to get a better rate on your mortgage, a better rate on those two pieces of debt, and a greater tax deduction because the interest you're paying on those other loans, you can't write off. So if you could get a cheaper rate on all of it and a greater tax deduction, why wouldn't you do that? And the big thing we're going to look at is your total of payments. Like, what will you actually wind up paying for your current mortgage and those other two items when you make all your payments? So take your monthly payment times how many of them you have left and add that up. There's three different line items there. That's really what you're paying. And then we'll compare it with our new loan and we'll see how much we save you. But I bet it's like $50,000, $60,000. So if you could legitimately save $50,000 or $60,000 and get a better tax deduction, I don't know why you wouldn't do it. But there's no money out of pocket. You might not even need an appraisal. If you do need an appraisal, that would be your only out of pocket, and you can even get that back at closing. But it sounds like you're on a good track, man. You know, I don't think credit score is that important. It's good that you have a good one in case you need something. But once you've paid everything off, dude, you don't really need credit anymore. You're a cash buyer. Justin Hanna. Oh, by the way, if you want me to hook you up on that, just email me Conrad@savewithconrad.com. Give us a call 888-425-0105 or slide my DMs or just go to savewithconrad.com. Justin Hanna says, why was R never a guest on Rick's show? WWE didn't usually let, WWE performers go on podcasts without permission, certainly not producers. So there would be times where you had to get special permission. And whenever I was trying to consciously save Arn to do some sort of like Thanksgiving, Starcade, whatever special anniversary. And we would have had to gotten permission. And then whenever those dates that I had held it for came around, Rick just wasn't interested. So I was guilty of thinking I had more time, but maybe one day. Tyler says, if Vince McMahon didn't ask Vince anything, what question would you submit? Boy, there's 1,000 different ones I would want to talk about. I think the biggest would probably be the full story of the first WrestleMania. You know, we've heard the speculation of how he had to sell the time slot on TBS to Crockett for $1 million in order to finance it. But I've also heard that he got multiple lines of credit and maybe showed one bank he had a bunch of cash and then showed another bank he had a bunch of cash. And really it was just each other's banks, the whole financing and how he pulled it all together and bet on himself. If we could get the full story, and there's lots of rumor and innuendo, a lot of the guys Vince went to in the main event and said, hey, I want to pay you way more than I actually can. If you'll be my partner in this, I'll pay you a bunch on the back end. Here's what that could look like. Or I can pay you X flat right up front. Supposedly only one guy took him up on the flat up front, and that was Orndorff. And he made, I don't know, a handful of $1,000s. Everybody else got major paid. Just the whole economics of WrestleMania, the very first one, I'm fascinated with. Pre-pay-per-view, closed circuit, all these celebrities, MSG, fascinated. Weston says, what was your experience like on WWE Network? Would you consider reviving that version of STW, or was it not fun because of the censorship? There wasn't censorship, with the exception of stuff that was being actively litigated. Had they told us what those lawsuits were, we would have never mentioned it in the first place. That's just the cost of doing business. We can't actively talk about something that's, you know, in the courts. Duh. I get that. It was fine. I didn't mind it. You know, it was a little weird. I would have liked to have done it differently, but in this, environment we're in, you got to create a bunch of content quickly. I think when we first discussed doing season two, we were going to go to New York and shoot it in the studio over like a 3 or 4 day period and do a whole season and just do them, you know, one after another. But then Bruce went back full time and it's not a priority. So yeah, I do think we'll do it again sometime, but probably when Bruce is out of the race car. So when Bruce is no longer full-time in creative, who knows when that'll be. I think we could do it again. But I don't know that that will ever happen because I think he's having so much fun. He'll want to do this forever. Brett says, have you seen the movie The Ref with Dennis Leary? Great Christmas movie, in my opinion. I don't think so. I'll look that up. Thanks for the tip. Ken says, what was your favorite Christmas gift as a kid, a teen, and now as an adult? Ken, that's hard to answer, man. I got a lot of great G.I. Joe stuff when I was a kid, and I got some game systems and I got some, wrestling action figures. It's hard for me to really answer that. I'm going to say probably one of my big G.I. Joe gimmicks, like one of the like mobile bases as a teen. Again, that's hard to really say. I don't even know how to answer that. As an adult, you know, I enjoy giving gifts much more than I enjoy getting them. But I did get a real cool outdoor pizza oven thing this year and a Traeger. So I cleaned up this year. Do you get your employees gifts? When I worked here at the TV station in Wisconsin, we got a holiday cheese knife set. Sometimes, you know, it's not like a standard, hey, you've been here for X number of years, so you get the paper gift, you get the pen gift, you get the, no, I don't really do that. But yeah, we do bonuses and whatnot. A lot of that just winds up being cash. If the Sad News Bears found themselves taking WWE style punishment on TV, like taking a Bronco Buster from Mae Young, who is getting that punishment? Matt Coon. He is the heel of the group. Rob says, what's the most you ever won or lost on a night of gambling? The most I ever won was 29,000, playing blackjack. The most I ever lost was about $6,000. Maybe a little more. Colt says, which music app do you use for your music? I use Apple Music on my phone. Here at the house, I have a Sonos system throughout my house, and I've got all the different music services like Pandora and Spotify and all those through there. But at home, it's Sonos. On the road, it's just Apple Music. Favorite 3 fast food restaurants and favorite order from those places? Well, now this is tough because if we're just talking local stuff, I don't have like a Shake Shack, and I don't even know that you would call a Shake Shack fast food, but if you do, then that's on the list and probably In-N-Out. We do have a drive through here on our little Rosie's, Rosie's Mexican Cantina is the Mexican restaurant favorite of mine here in Huntsville that you hear us talk about a lot. So here locally, Rosie's is on my list. Wendy's probably makes this just because of the spicy chicken sandwich and the frosty. Oh man, that third one's tough. I don't really have one, man. I was really excited in Indiana to hear that Taco Bell up there still had chili cheese burritos, but I don't eat Taco Bell unless I'm in Indiana and they have chili cheese burritos. And then I eat Taco Bell. I just thought that was like the most underrated menu item they ever had. Rob says, are you into hard seltzer? No, I am not. I do have a bunch during the summer out in the fridges by the pool. It feels like every lady who comes over really, really likes it. Back when I was single, if I was single today, I would have it in every flavor because they seem to dig it. But Megan and I just drink water and vodka. Michael McClanahan says the Undertaker missed 2 WrestleManias due to injury, WrestleMania 10 and WrestleMania 2000. Had he been available, who would you have booked him with in a match? Would you have kept the streak intact? They didn't know that the streak was a thing until WrestleMania. What is it? 18? Yeah. WrestleMania 18 when he was going 10-0 against Flair. That's the first time they knew that he was on a streak. So yes, I think he would have still won accidentally, but I don't know who they could have booked him against. I would have liked to have seen WrestleMania 10 with him and Savage. I realized that would have meant somebody had to play a heel and Undertaker was a baby face, but I think he could have maybe even done a baby face versus baby face. No disrespect to Crush, but Undertaker Savage could have been pretty badass. WrestleMania 2000 is hard for me to say. 2000 is kind of a blur for me. I didn't really like wrestling in 2000. I haven't really talked about that on the show, but I just think the creative was just not there for me. ECW was a shell of its former self. The WWF was just not as fun as it once was. WCW was in shambles. I just hated it. So I'm sorry I can't give you a great answer for 2000. But you're right. My choices would have been Undertaker versus Yokozuna for the WWF title at WrestleMania 10. Undertaker wins. Hey, I'm good with that. I don't know what you do with Luger if you just go Bret and Owen. I mean, I know they wanted to end the show sort of anointing Bret Hart, so it's hard for me to deviate from that, but I don't hate your creative here. And Chris Jericho for WrestleMania 2000, again, Undertaker wins. I like that. We'll go with your Jericho idea. Zach says, do you know what happened to the spinner belt that Edge threw in the river during his feud with John Cena? I do not. I don't know for sure that it was a real belt and not a replica either. Chris says, have you ever considered doing any Ring of Honor watch-alongs or having a perspective of someone from the company maybe brought to AFS, considering nearly all the top stars from every organization have made a pass-through and had classic matches along the way? I would love to hear from someone backstage other than Corny in the short run he had. Stay tuned. Can't give you a spoiler, but you're going to be happy soon. Chris says, rank these storylines from your favorite to least. Sting versus NWO, Austin versus McMahon, Undertaker versus Kane. Undertaker versus Kane is my least favorite. Austin McMahon is second, Sting and NWO is number one. Arian Sauer says, I'm in a credit repair program. In 6 months, they promised to get me qualified for a house, only 640 score. Should I take this deal and then try to refinance with you? If you've got a 640, you're good to go right now, Bubba. Go to saveaconrad.com. What are your thoughts on Bubba the Love Sponge? I never met Bubba. I was entertained by some of his raunchy audio when I was younger. Now hearing more about what all happened in the Hogan stuff, you know, with that video, that's a major party foul. I don't think that's cool at all. So not a fan. Joe Chris says, what are your thoughts on a drunk history type of bonus show on AFS, but with old wrestling stories in place of historical events? I think this could be fire with Mance as the storyteller, among others. You know, that's kind of the idea when we're doing mansplaining, doing sort of our own version of drunk history. I mean, we're not calling it that, but we are saying, hey, you guys need a cocktail, y'all drink, and he'll try to explain old wrestling. So we're kind of doing that now. Sorry if that wasn't more obvious. We'll do better. Jordan says, do you think Alabama has a big enough market for a Big Four professional sports team? And if so, what sport and what city do you think would work the best? No, we've never supported anything in this state besides college football. We've had a few different, we had a semi-pro basketball league back when the NBA had a developmental league. It's called Huntsville Flight. Didn't support it. We had really, really great hockey here at the college level. Didn't support it. We had multiple pro football teams in Birmingham, you know, from the bullshit leagues back in the day, and not the NFL, obviously, but we didn't support it. So no, I don't think we would support anything like that. I don't know if it's socioeconomic, because Alabama is not exactly a wealthy state. Alabama, by and large, is a poor state, with the exception of Huntsville. Madison County, where Huntsville is sort of the standout from the rest of the state as far as income and education. So I just don't think that the disposable income is there. And I know the passion's not, because we're all about college football. Brandon says, just out of curiosity, what's with the fart sound you make at the end of WHW? I don't know. I did it once and Tony loved it. So I do it every time now, and he gets mad when I don't do it. Joe Gould says, could we have a chocolate cake happy hour sometime? It's legal in enough places. I enjoyed some before watching the bonus episode where Flair gets knocked out by Ronnie Garvin and drag. Couldn't stop laughing the entire episode. I don't know who would participate with me. You know, if Tony would come over in person and participate, that might work, but Tony's never going to have chocolate cake at his house. I don't know. I mean, I know Bruce can't right now. I know Arn won't. I think it's probably got to be me, Tony, and Cassio one day. Do you like Metallica? Ever seen them in concert? Concerts and live wrestling. Two things I can't wait to do again in 2021. Yes, I love Metallica. Have all their stuff. Listen all the time. One of my all-time favorites. Have not seen them in concert, but really not into it. Not really a concert guy. I think I would much rather just listen here at the house. Maybe watch it on TV, but I'm not really into it. Michael Shiz says, I know you must get sick of the Mount Rushmore questions, so here's one more silly one. Have you ever been to the actual Mount Rushmore? My parents went a few years ago, and I think my mom was a bit underwhelmed after driving 14 hours to get there. I have not. I will see it one day. I've actually got a friend who lives up there, so eventually I'll get around to visiting him. We went to high school together, and I haven't seen him in forever. So one day, but no, not yet. Brock says, if you could pick one of these athletes to wrestle a full-time schedule, which would it be and why? LT, Rodman, or Malone? Probably LT. I just think he's intimidating and wild and crazy. And I mean, obviously Rodman is too, but I think LT is probably built more like a wrestler. Eddie Linderstein says, Flair, say that Flair doesn't return in 2001. How much does this impact his legacy? I'm 34 and was a WWF guy exclusively until December of 97. So most of my big Flair exposure came during Flair's second run in the WWF. Flair's legacy, believe it or not, in the mainstream is that second WWE run. No doubt about it. Right. Which is why you see so many promotional materials and photos from that era. By then the world had changed the way people consume. And, he was just more accessible, you know, back in the day, it was much more regional and that stuff didn't live forever, but because the internet was hopping by then. Yeah. I think a lot of his run, a lot of his fame, if you will, is 01 to 08, that run right there. Lauren says, what are your thoughts on the Vader Ospreay match that happened in Rev Pro in 2016? I think I saw it when it happened, cause I know there was some smack talk from Vader beforehand. I don't really remember it. I'll go check it out. In your opinion, who is the best Bullet Club leader and why is it AJ Styles? I do think it was probably AJ Styles. I'm more AJ than Kenny. Dustin says, just saw Conrad retweet Jimmy's Famous Seafood and what they have to do now that they've been ordered to close. Is there a chance there could be a conversations with Conrad with them and post it here as a way to spotlight their employees and help them raise some money? I've never been there, but it feels like they're part of this family too. They are. Absolutely. Go to jimmysfamousseafood.com and get some stuff shipped to you. I'm not going to be driving to Baltimore to interview them, and he's still busy making food every day. But yes, I would love to do anything and everything I can to support them. They are good folks and friends of mine, friends of our whole group. Antonio says, do you think the 60-man battle royal at World War III could have worked better with individual groups or groups of five making entrances after 2 to 5 minute intervals, gradually filling up the rings instead of everyone at once? I know it will take a lot of time, but it would be easier to follow the action. Yep. I think you nailed it. They definitely should have done that. I'm a big fan of Karrion Kross. Do you think he will flourish at the main roster, or is NXT a perfect fit for him? I think Vince is going to fall in love with him, and I know Bruce will. So I think he'll do real well. If you could send five wrestlers back to NXT where they had the best time compared to the main roster, who would that be? You know, I think they've already done that with some. I mean, I love Finn Balor, and I think he probably had more success down there, and probably Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't know who else would be there though, besides those two, but it felt like they had a big league allure down there that just for whatever reason, they're not making happen on the main roster. Joshua says, with the passing of Pat and seeing the original IC on SmackDown, did you sell it to WWE or were you just letting them borrow it since you're so close with Bruce? I just let him borrow it. Bruce called me and said, hey, do you still have Pat's belt? And I said, yes. And he said, can we borrow it? And I said, yes. And he said, what do I need to do? And I said, just send me a label. So he sent me a FedEx label. It went out the next day and it was on TV that night. Frank Bruno says, will you sing some of Dominic the Donkey for us? Well, here's the thing. I let the guy sing the song, Frank, and then I just go, ee-haw, ee-haw, and people love it. Andrew says, love the new video versions of the pod. Can we make it a rule that AA has to wear his Carreras during the pods? Because the meme says, when you see these glasses, you better watch your asses. I don't know that he has any glasses like that, but I'll get Silva to send him some. Connie, as a lapsed, this is from Chris. Connie, as a lapsed 38-year-old American fan that really only watched from 97 to 01, what is it about Kenny Omega that is so appealing? I've never watched any of his stuff or anything. I just want to know what to look for. Go watch his matches with Okada. That's all I can say. Rewatching Boogie Nights right now, do you think the Roller Girl gimmick would get over in 2020 porn movies? Also, if you could work Roller Girl into WHW and get Tony's take, that'd be great. I don't know that he's seen it, but I'll bring it up if I remember to. I'll be honest, I didn't know that people needed gimmicks in porns in 2020. Actually, I didn't know they were actual full-blown movies. I guess I thought they were all clips now. Eros says, Conrad, if you were to start a band with your co-hosts, what would you put for each role, what genre, and what hit song in that genre would you cover? You know, I don't know, but just because there's so many of us, you would think that we would have to be a rock band, but that would mean we would have to play instruments. And I don't think anybody plays instruments. I think once upon a time, Eric tinkered with guitar, but I don't really know what that would be. So I guess we'd have to be a rap group. And, I don't know. We'd probably do like Straight Out of Compton and change it to like Straight Out of Stanford or something. What'd you think of the Lucha Underground Gift of the Gods Championship as a belt and for the concept behind it? I dug it because it was different. It was very, very unique. Marcus Hunt, street fight match between Russo and Cornette. Who wins? Cornette. He has no quit. He's crazy. He'll do whatever it takes to win. Edward Ring says, if Andre didn't do WrestleMania 3 against Hogan, who would his opponent have been? You know, we talked about this. We sort of fantasy booked this once upon a time. I think it probably would have been King Kong Bundy. Pull Bundy out of that six man with the little folks and then let Hogan work Orndorff. Timothy Lawler says, Jim Ross has talked about people fat shaming wrestling fans. Do you have any past experiences as a kid or adult of people trying to make fun of you for being a wrestling fan? Oh, sure. All the time. Still happens to this day. I don't care. I'm used to it. I'm having fun and, you know, I don't care what other people think about anything. I know that's not what you wanted me to say, Tim, but I got used to rejection and no very early on because I wanted to be in sales. So it doesn't affect me the way it does everybody else. Alex says, I'm interested in collecting wrestling memorabilia. I usually use eBay. Any tips or insights on how to locate wrestling items? It's really a community. My advice would be keep looking for eBay, keep looking online, but eventually you'll start to meet some folks and develop some relationships. And then it just becomes networking and staying in touch. David Carr says, on the episode of WHW from a month or so back, when you announced that 2021 will be all 1986, did I misunderstand you and say that WHW might come to an end after 2021? I hope I misunderstood that. I don't know what to do without my weekly WHW fix. Can you elaborate on that? We signed another 1-year extension with Westwood One. So as long as Westwood One will have us, here we will be. James says, we know Eric won't do a show with Russo, but do you think you'd do a one-off with Russo for something, even if it was just to rile everyone up, or will that ruin your relationship with Eric? No, it won't ruin my relationship with Eric. I get along fine with Russo. I don't know why we would do a one-off. I don't know what the angle would be or how we would monetize it, but if there's an idea where we can all have some fun and make some money, I'm for it. But to do it and just put it on his network, probably not something I'm interested in. Joseph says, since Eric has said that Starrcade 99 was the worst pay-per-view of all time, can you have Eric watch Talkin' Shop-a-Mania or Talkin' Shop-a-Mania 2? Probably not. He would have to be inebriated. Jim says, as a close friend of Bruce, do you try to tune out the recent internet chatter about the alleged backstage heat he has with talent, or does it make you wonder about his long-term future there? I hope he doesn't get a raw deal. No, the talent will not fire him. The talent didn't hire him, so I'm not worried about that at all. Bruce is making his boss happy and making more money than ever, so more power to him. Besides, I don't believe most of what I read online. You know, I know that sounds crazy, but I can just pick up the phone and call and ask, but I don't, because it's none of my business. I know that sounds crazy and it sounds like a cop out, but it's like, if you heard that, hey, somebody at your buddy's job doesn't like him, would you call him and ask? I know that sounds weird, but would you? The answer is no. You would just say, hey man, I'd ask him how's work. And he says, oh man, I'm having a great time, making more money than ever. Ah, good for him. Happy for my buddy. I know people have different tastes, but as a 30-year fan of wrestling, I really think I must be missing something when it comes to the Young Bucks. I'm an AEW convert, but I just don't get their appeal, but I keep trying. To me, their matches are just spot fests where tag rules do not matter. Help me. What am I missing? I think you're just being too old school and you're looking for something to not like. I don't know how you can't be entertained with their sense of timing and creativity and energy. If you go into it with an open mind, I think you'll be okay. If you go into it listening to a bunch of Cornette stuff and think, oh, they're a bunch of flippity doo-dah spot monkeys who don't sell nothing, well, that's what you're going to see. You know, it's sort of one of those deals where, you know, you look what you find what you're looking for. And I go in to be entertained, and I usually am. And I had to come around, by the way, because I just saw clips and I was like, I don't get it. And then I actually saw them in person and I was like, okay, I get it. So my advice to you would be, when possible, see them in person. David McClay says, I think all of us wrestling fans in 99 remember exactly where we were and who we were with during Over the Edge. So I was wondering if you might not mind sharing your story about watching that pay-per-view live when it happened. I lived at home with my parents. I had just graduated high school within the last week. And I had the pay-per-view on in my room and I was watching by myself. So it wasn't like a big fancy story or memory, but I remember calling my friends and trying to like talk to them on the house phone and figure out what in the hell was going on. Martin Sabin says, would it be possible to get an Ask Lois part two? I really enjoyed the first one quite a bit. Yes, we will do Ask Megan part two and an Ask Lois part two and all those at some point in 2021 for sure. When the world gets back to normal, what do you think of doing a StarCast show dedicated to Vader? You can invite a son and maybe let fans take pictures with the classic helmet. That would be awesome. Yeah, I would love to have him bring the helmet and set up a table. I don't know how we could do a real tribute to him. So many of his folks that he had classic matches with aren't available. They're WWE talents. So it would be tough to do that without talking to some of those folks. But yes, I want to do everything I can to celebrate Vader, one of my absolute favorites. Well, boys and girls, this was a fast one. Ask Conrad 22. You guys had some easy ones for me today, but I greatly appreciate your support here and everything we're doing here for adfreeshows.com. If you've got some more questions for me, drop them below and man, I'll hook you right up. Evan's going to collect them and get them over to me. And I hope you guys dug all the Geico bonus shows and everybody had a Merry Christmas, and I hope you have a great new year. And I guess I'll see you here next year with another Ask Conrad Anything, volume 23, coming up in 2021.